20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy Saturday, happy weekend, everybody. Memorial Day is almost upon us, which means summertime. I am Jason Perrone, along with my every Saturday co-hosts, Mark Eckel and Paul Brettel. Mark, how's the beach today?
Wonderful. Good. You know, today we're actually doing this on a Friday, right?
Friday.
We tape on Friday. I was supposed to get married today.
That's right. Yeah.
I was supposed to. But because of the virus and everything, you know, even though things are opening here, you know, I really didn't want to be, I didn't really want to stand 6 feet away from my wife to be.
Yeah.
So we moved it back. But yeah, so I wouldn't have been doing this with you guys today. So I see something good came out of it, right?
I guess so. As long as everyone's happy and you're okay to delay, but you're not alone. There's a lot of people delaying a lot of things right now.
We're the only ones that had to postpone weddings.
No, for sure.
We're old. It's not like we're trying to start a family.
which of course, you know, makes you what, not a non-essential couple? I'm joking.
Exactly.
All right, Paul Brettel over there in Wisconsin. How are things in the Dairyland?
Ah, fantastic! It is springtime, and I love it.
Absolutely, it looks. I've got visual of Paul. I'm actually the lucky one. I get to see Paul while we record this, and I can see the sun shining in through the window. So. That's always a very welcome sight in Wisconsin.
All the snow is melted?
Oh, yeah. It's been melted for a while.
They actually got snow. I'm from Jersey originally. They actually got snow last week in New Jersey. Like last weekend, they had like a dusting, believe it or not.
Well, I know the Milwaukee area, or at least Waukesha, got a little bit of snow last weekend, too. It didn't stick, but it fell.
Yeah, I don't miss that. You don't miss that either, do you, Jason?
No, I don't. But then, you know, then the thing is, you know, when you go from winter to spring, your honey-do list just changes from shoveling to mowing. So that's just the way it goes. But we are the benefits of some really good timing. Like Mark said, we're recording this on Friday so that it's up and ready for you early on Saturday. And as you can imagine, the three of us are going to be dissecting the comments of Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers as he spoke to the media on Friday in a conference call. So, gentlemen, we've talked a little bit about it. We have to lead off with the obvious low-hanging fruit because there were several questions asked about this of Rodgers, and that is the first-round selection of Jordan Love in the draft. So the first question really was just, what are your thoughts on the Jordan Love pick? Aaron Rodgers, in summary, basically said he was surprised. He used the words that he wasn't thrilled, but that was, if in context, I think he was just being honest there. His bigger point was that he understands and respects the organization and what they have to do, not just for today, but in moving forward. So, guys, we've been through this before. About 12 years ago, we went through this with the summer of Favre. Mark, you were covering the NFL at the time. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think his comments are all that surprising. You knew he was going to kind of toe the line there and support the team, right?
Absolutely. And he said the right things. And he didn't, you know, he was honest. I want to say this first. You have to give the Packers PR department, I guess, and Aaron Rodgers both some credit. I mean, like you said, I covered the league a long time, and I've seen the way access has gone from when I first started covering a team back in the 80s to now. They didn't have to do this. There was no rule that required them to make Rodgers available to the media. And Rodgers could have said, and even if the Packers wanted to make him available, Rodgers could have said, no, I'm not doing a media. I don't want it. So give them both credit for putting him out there, getting the story out. I thought, you know, so let's start with that. But I mean, you know, he wasn't thrilled. Of course he wasn't thrilled. I mean, the wide receiver in Las Vegas isn't thrilled that the Raiders took Henry Ruggs with their first pick. I mean, you're never – any player isn't thrilled when another player gets picked at your position, especially quarterback when there's only one on the field at a time. So, no, he could have – of course he wasn't thrilled. And so if people are going to make a big deal of that he – him saying he wasn't – and I'm sure – there are people out there already making a big deal of it. That's just people looking for something that isn't there.
Yeah, and I think there was another question asked about why he wasn't thrilled with the pick. And, Paul, I know you listened to Rodgers' comments, you know, I think he was honest, said mostly the surprise was just based on the fact that the controllables that he has in terms of when he finishes playing in Green Bay and wanting to play into his 40s aren't there as much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And first off, I just want to say that I thought Rodgers did an excellent job, which what I expected. He was honest with it, positive as well with everything that was asked of him. And it should have been expected if there were those out there waiting for, you know, some sort of headline grab for, you know, him to become on angry. That's just not him, and that wasn't going to happen. So, but I thought he did an excellent job. And yeah, in terms of him not being thrilled, like Mark said, I mean, of course, would Rodgers have preferred a receiver? Absolutely. But in terms of why he's not thrilled, it's, as you said, it's about maybe the realization for him has kind of hit all of us that his career is coming to an end, and he still has 4 years on his contract. Beloved's window is 4 years on a rookie deal for the Packers with a fifth-year option. We've seen the formula, you know, Carson Wentz in Philly, Jared Goff in L.A., other players as well, quarterbacks. They've had success, or Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Teams have had success. Quarterbacks on the rookie deal, you build around them. The Packers are going to want to do that if they can. And so, as Roger said, this is an added element that he wasn't planning for. And now it's a bit of a wrench thrown into, well, am I going to be able to finish out my career in Green Bay? And at this point, I mean, chances are he's not going to. I think chances are before this were leaning that way as well. Because, I mean, we look back, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, now Tom Brady. Most of these guys go on to finish elsewhere. It's just the nature of the beast. But now with Love coming in, first-round pick on his rookie deal, the Packers feel that he's ready and they can dump Rodgers' contract and then build around Love. They're going to go that route. And then for Rodgers, who's talked about a bunch of times how he wants to finish his career here and how much that means to him and his legacy and what it means to be a Green Bay Packers quarterback, I think that, you know, it just caught him off guard, as he had mentioned.
Well, and we were talking before we started, Mark, you asked a great question, which is for those that are hoping there's a way that Rodgers finishes his career in Green Bay, he might, but when was the last great quarterback in the NFL that finished a long career with the same team? And we had to think about it, right?
I don't have one, right? I mean, like I said, unless you think Eli Manning is great, and some do, I mean, some think he's a Hall of Famer, then it would be Eli Manning, played his entire career with the Giants, even though he was drafted by the Chargers. I guess the answer is Elway, right? Would be the last.
That's what came to mind for me.
Off the top of my head, I think you're right. It just doesn't happen as much now, and the game's changed a lot, and free agency has changed a lot. But I think that's pretty much the extent of it. So then that actually kind of made the Rodgers answer to, you know, his asked about his role, about helping Jordan Love along, knowing that he didn't get, you know, Brett Favre was vocal about not feeling like he had to develop Aaron Rodgers or help him, you know, prepare him to play or help him in practice. Rodgers said exactly what you'd expect about him based on the comments he's made throughout his career about the relationships he's had with his teammates, not just other quarterbacks, but his teammates. He feels good about those relationships he's had, and he looks forward to having those conversations with Jordan Love. I mean, they haven't been on the field yet, so everything's going to get dissected. I mean, the body language police has become such a big thing over the past decade since we've got so many angles and TV cameras. And there's, I mean, it used to be, Mark, you and I remember this. Paul, you probably maybe don't as much, but there was one camera. It was on the action. If you were lucky to get a view of somebody on the sideline, and now there's just cameras everywhere. And we know that because you had, you know, the Booger McFarland cam thing on Monday Night Football and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's all going to get dissected, but I feel like that was genuine. That was the thing, Paul. I think you're right. Rodgers was really genuine in his answers. He was positive, but he wasn't over the top or canned. So I tend to believe, you know, that was the case. He was also asked, kind of the last thing I took away from the Jordan Love questions was, will the pick add kind of a chip to Rodgers' shoulder? And he kind of quashed it pretty quickly. He said he's never really felt like he's needed external motivation. His main motivation is to play consistently as he gets older. He knows that the most important thing is his legs as a quarterback. Last year he said he felt amazing. That was the word he used, was he felt amazing. And this offseason he's had more time to get his body ready and work out. His goal is still to play into his 40s. Mark, when you watch Aaron Rodgers this past season, do you see a guy that you could see playing? I mean, a lot can happen between the next 3 years, but do you, or next, I shouldn't say next 3 years, but, you know, I think next 3 years, you think, do you see a guy that could potentially play into his 40s?
Can he play into his 40s? Sure, absolutely. Can he be the Aaron Rodgers that was an MVP and a Super Bowl winner into his 40s? I'm not so sure about that. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. The last 2 years, Rodgers was okay. I mean, he was good. I mean, he set the bar so high that we expect Superman every week. Last year, he was Clark Kent some weeks. Mm-hmm. He wasn't Superman. I mean, there were games where I shook my head and said, wow, the quarterback would have played well. They probably would have won this game a little easier. Now, they were 13-3, so that's pretty darn good, and I'm not going to blame him for the three losses, especially the Eagle game. Mm-hmm. The other two were just everybody played bad. So, but he wasn't great. I can't say he was great last year. I thought he was good. He was a good quarterback. He was certainly not, you know, reason to panic about him. But, and he's, you know, I've seen guys, you know, I've seen guys just, it goes all at once sometimes. Donovan McNabb, who I covered his whole career in Philly, and the guy that got traded. You know, who thought that was going to happen? But they traded him in the division, which was amazing. But he went to when he went to the Redskins, he wasn't. The Eagles knew exactly when to get rid of Donovan McNabb, and he was actually bad with them. I mean, he wasn't even good. He wasn't even average with the Redskins. He was bad with the Redskins. So I mean, it could happen. I mean, I love Aaron saying I want to play into my 40s. Well, doesn't mean you will. And again, football's a violent game. He has been hurt. Injuries over the next year or two will certainly decide if he's able to play into his 40s or not.
Well, the interesting thing too that he said was, and part of this might have played a factor, Paul, I know you probably caught this as well, when he was asked about, are there going to be verbiage changes in the offense? Because I think last year Matt LaFleur tried to accommodate to an extent, maybe not accommodate, but he tried to mix working his offense in and establishing his offense with keeping Aaron Rodgers comfortable with some of the stuff he's done in the past. So you still heard some of the same cadences and things like that. But Rodgers said, you know, he doesn't envision being able to play without a wristband for the foreseeable future, just because it's a different system, getting the call in, calling in a number versus a longer cadence into the helmet speaker. You know, they want to get the ball up to the line of scrimmage, make their checks from there, and keep the tempo up. So, you know, I wonder, Paul, any thoughts on, do you think that played a big factor last year, or do you think do you think age is maybe creeping up on Rodgers? What do you think about the whole 40?
I certainly think that if he wants to play into his 40s, he can. But, you know, as we've talked about, is he going to be the same Aaron Rodgers that we're used to? Not at all. And, I mean, the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen over the last 2 years isn't the prime Aaron Rodgers that we've grown accustomed to. And like Mark said, he set the bar ridiculously high. But I think in today's NFL, and especially with the way LaFleur is taking the offense more run-oriented, and I know that word's been thrown around a lot since the draft, we still have Aaron Rodgers under center. This offense isn't going to become the Tennessee Titans, but it is going to be more of a focus with the play action. You know, that's going to take the ball out of his hands more, limit the hits, hopefully extend his health as well. But a couple other things that I wanted to add from the Jordan Love thing. Rodgers mentioned that his goals are still the same. You know, I just sat here a few minutes ago and talked about how, you know, this might speed up his process, might speed up the timing for his way out of Green Bay, but he still wants to play into his early 40s. He still wants to finish his career a Packer, and he says that he can still control the way he plays, which is ultimately true. If he's, you know, if he's still head and shoulders above Jordan Love 3 years from now, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very difficult for the Packers just to move on from him. And then he also mentioned as well, he's aware that others in his situation have gone to other teams. You know, we've talked about the Favres, Mannings, Brady's, and I think that was kind of his way of saying, you know, if I am healthy, still playing at a high level in a few years, I think that was his way of saying he is, you know, might be open to that, to going to a different team to continue playing. That's me reading the tea leaves. He didn't say that at all, but that was my interpretation of it. And then the last thing was, he said he learned from Favre, and he wants to bring that to his relationship with Jordan Love. He also added that Love didn't ask to be drafted to Green Bay. It wasn't his choice. And that they had a nice phone call after the draft, and just to get to know each other a little bit. You know, that's the big thing with all this. Everyone's been speculating, how is Rodgers going to react? If there's one quarterback in this league who is going to understand what Jordan Love is going through and have some empathy towards it, it's Aaron Rodgers. He went exactly through this. You know, he's going to understand the shoes that Jordan Love is in right now. And you would think that that would, you know, while it's not his job to mentor him by any means, you think he's going to be a little more open to it.
Yeah, all those things you would expect from someone like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it would be a pretty rough look for him not to be empathetic to some of the stuff that Love may be going through, even though Rodgers now realizes, hey, I'm the old guy, so to speak, in the equation. So, again, not a surprise there in terms of, you know, like we said, we're pleased with the way Rodgers handled this, and I say that in terms of, like you said, Paul, you didn't really give a lot of material for those that are looking for a headline grab. I mean, Florio's going to find a way to spin it, and you saw and I saw there was already somebody who put out an article before the press conference was even over that said Rodgers, in quotes, not thrilled with Love pick. But if you don't put context behind it, then, you know, what are you going to do? Mark, you've been in the business for a long time, and, you know, comments get made by players. What is the responsibility of the writer to convey the right context in what is said?
Well, it's not hard. I mean, the business has changed, and it's one of a thousand reasons I kind of got out of it. Is that, you know, when I at the height of my coverage, we didn't care about clicks, we didn't care about views. We wanted to do a good job and write a good story. Now it's all about, you know, clickbait and put a fancy headline. And, you know, if the headline says, you know, Rodgers isn't thrilled with pick, people, ooh, I want to, even if non-Packer fans are going to, ooh, Aaron Rodgers is mad about it, they're going to read it, right? If it says, you know, Aaron Rodgers likes whatever, you know what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's all about, we used to call it tabloid journalism back in the day because the New York tabloids would always have the big back page, you know, funny sometimes headlines or, you know, the attention grabbers, but that's, everybody does that now. So it's just the way of the world. And I, as an old school journalist, I don't like it at all. But I want to go back to what Paul said earlier. What if Rodgers, and again, he said he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder and he's not about that, but you know, he wants to, I mean, he has, not that every year he should want to win and want to do well, obviously, and he's a competitor, but there is incentive now. I mean, if they don't draft Jordan Love, if they draft a receiver there, an offensive lineman, whatever, it's rough. Tim Boyle is not a threat to Aaron Rodgers, right? And he's just not. Jordan Love, I'm not going to say he's a threat, but there is in the back, like he said, in the back of his mind, I might not finish my career here now. But what if he does take it back to the Aaron Rodgers MVP level? What if they win a Super Bowl next year or the year after, and Rodgers is MVP again? It's a great scenario. I'm not going to complain about that at all as a Packer fan.
No, great scenario.
Right? It's a great scenario. But what happens to Jordan Love?
Well, we've seen Brian Gutekunst surprise us and do some things that weren't expected in the past couple seasons in terms of the draft, maybe even free agency. I don't know how much everybody foresaw last year's free agency boon with the four big names that they signed. So I can't say that I know what he would do in that situation. Does he take the approach of ride the horse if it's healthy? Or does he say, well, Aaron Rodgers has prime value and before he drops off, let's make a move here and stockpile for the future, and let's hand the keys over to our other young stallion in the stable. You know, I don't really honestly know what he would do in that case, Paul. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I would hope that he would stay with them. In Mark's scenario, if he's a Super Bowl champ, MVP caliber player, I mean, this is the most important position in sports. And yeah, he's maybe in the final, you know, at that point, maybe in the final year or two of his career. If he's coming off an MVP season, for me anyways, you ride with the hot hand. and see if you can duplicate it and do it again. I mean, as we've seen, winning Super Bowls are hard. So if you have Aaron Rodgers playing Aaron Rodgers MVP football, you ride that.
Yeah, or do you go the other direction and do they trade Love and say, okay, we're going to get some good capital back for a hot prospect?
But is Love still a hot prospect if he hasn't played?
Right, big question mark.
There, what I think the perfect scenario would be, and it's ideal, is, again, Rodgers. If Rodgers is Super Bowl, they win a Super Bowl, he's back to 2010 form. And Love isn't playing, obviously, right? So Love is just a number two young guy that plays preseason games. Maybe he's, no one's going to offer you a lot for him. And he wouldn't, you give him his fifth year. You maybe even extend him. Maybe he's willing to stay knowing, all right, Rodgers isn't going to play till he's 50. I am going to get my chance eventually, right? And then you just ride it out a little longer. I mean, I don't think Jordan Love would be in demand as a free. I mean, if we're talking three, four years down the road, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks coming out of college the next 3 or 4 years. Is a rusty Jordan Love worth more than a first-round pick out of Alabama or Oklahoma or Florida? I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot to vet.
It's all, we're throwing things completely up in the air now, but sure. It's all possible. It's going to be intriguing. That's the only word what happens over the next.
I think the big thing here is we finally got a glimpse into the mindset of Rodgers in terms of what he's thinking, how he feels, because what we all want to know is, at least for me, am I even going to have a remote chance of having to sit through another what we went through in 2008? Now, that's the selfish part of me as a fan that doesn't want to deal with that again. I don't want to have to deal with the ribbing from everybody and all the negativity that would surround the Packers. But I think Rodgers did a good job of quashing that, and I honestly don't think that was the direction that he was going to go anyway. But he was asked, and maybe this is a good opportunity to transition the conversation a little bit, about the wide receiver situation, because the Packers didn't draft one. I know they brought Reggie Begelton in as the Canadian CFL guy, and there's always undrafted free agency, and there's, who knows what else is going to happen before training camp starts. But everybody loves to note which names Aaron Rodgers calls out. And we were talking a bit before we started. We heard Equanimeous St. Brown's name. We heard Marquez Valdez-Scantling's name. We heard Jay Kumerow's name. Devin Funchess mentioned a couple times. The relationship between Rodgers and the wide receivers, he mentioned that he liked the fact that the coaching staff felt confident that none of the receivers were going to beat none of the draft picks that they could potentially bring in were going to beat out the guys that they have. I mean, you want that confidence in the receiver group, but there's been a lot of questions about whether or not this group can take a step forward. I mean, Paul, for you, I'd have to imagine it's similar maybe to what I'm thinking, which is you're assuming EQ takes a step forward coming off an injury year. Marquez Valdez-Scantling takes a step forward after taking a step back in year two. I mean, there's a lot of ifs there in order to make all of that stuff kind of go together and make it all make sense.
Yeah, and they're going to have to if we're going to see the passing game improve. In regards to MVS, Rodgers uses the terms that he has a ton of confidence in him. But Equanimeous St. Brown is who he talked about the most. I think he brought him up. He brought him up when he was asked about the returning receivers, but I think he brought him up another two times just on his own in the conversation. And he's always had a bit of an affinity for him. EQ popped a little during his rookie year, made some big plays. Last year in the preseason before he got injured, Rodgers spoke highly of him then, so he's always been a fan of his. And EQ, he was a sixth-round pick, but many had a higher grade on him than that, so I don't necessarily know that he's your typical sixth round draft pick. He's got the speed and the size, and he could give them that big slot presence that they didn't really have last year with Geronimo Allison struggling with drops and just an inability to create after the catch. So he's someone that I'm definitely watching. Same with MVS, and then Alan Lazard. He raved about him as well and how big his contributions were during the second half of the season. And Rodgers also added, I know fans weren't necessarily big on the offseason, but Rodgers did add on his own, I like what Brian has done in regards to this offseason.
Sure. Mark, as far as Rodgers naming names, we've talked about it before. I mean, you know, probably a good sign that you got a quarterback that's committed to trying to make this group better. And if he's got a little bit of a push now, there's a guy behind him. You know, I'm wondering if that doesn't maybe help the offense a little or the passing game a little bit.
Oh, sure. And I got your clickbait headline for you. Rodgers ignores Davante Adams. Yeah. Adams not one of our keys, Rodgers initiates. Hey, you didn't mention him, right? But listen, getting back, you know, just first on the wide receivers with Funchess, Lazard, St. Brown, MVS, Kumerow, who you said he mentioned, and the kid from Canada. I mean, you got six guys there that. And here's the thing. None of them – you have Davante Adams. I know Aaron didn't mention him for obvious reasons. You don't have to. He's a top five receiver in the league right now, I think. I think he's that good. So all these guys, they only have to be twos or threes. We're not asking any of these guys to come in and be a star. Mm-hmm. You got your star, you know? So if these guys can be what they're – an MVS, you know, he had a bad half year last year. His first half of the season wasn't terrible. He had a good game against the Eagles. He had a good game against the Raiders. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of, I don't know, and it could be injuries. If you remember, a lot of people didn't like Davante Adams after his second year. A lot of people wanted to cut Davante Adams before year three, but he was hurt year two. And then he got healthy and was good. It could be the same thing with MVS. I don't know. Paul?
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, too, I know that the wide receiver group's been a big topic of conversation for obvious reasons. They did underwhelm a bit last year outside of Adams and second half Alan Lazard. But they have a lot of solid players here. What they didn't have was a two. They have a lot of guys who can be three, fours, and fives. And hopefully one of them steps up into that two role. But all, you know, MVS, EQ, Alan Lazard, Devin Funchess, all of these guys, Jake Kumerow, they've all made plays at the NFL level. So they have good depth there. It's just who can take that step and do it more consistently.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, real quick, and maybe we come back to it, is we should circle back and talk about Equanimeous St. Brown, because he had a couple of really nice looks and plays during the 2018 season we didn't get to see in 2019. There's more than just a little bit of smoke coming up from that fire of he can be really good this year.
Right, I agree. I think, I mean, there's a lot of potential at wide receiver. And potential is it just what it is, potential. But Lazard showed things at the end of last year. St. Brown, like you said, showed things in 18. And that's a shame that he got hurt last year. Who knows what – if he would have played last year and progressed the way a lot of us think he may have, nobody would even be talking about wide receiver. Wouldn't even been listed as a need, right? They would say, oh, the Packers are fine at wide receiver. They got Adams, they got St. Brown, Lazard, you know, on and on. So let's see what he can do. And this, the kid from Canada, again, I don't know a lot about him, but I know everywhere he's been. Now, it's been at lower levels, Lamar University and the CFL, but the son of a gun produces. He's the all-time leading receiver in his college history, and he caught 111 passes last year in Canada. I mean, that's a lot. I don't care where you're playing or who you're playing against. That's a lot of catches.
Yeah, they've got some decent options. You know, they really do. And Rodgers did, towards the end of the conference call, he did talk about Davante Adams. It wasn't as much. It was just he said he's a big key. He's the dynamic guy. He acknowledged him. You know, of course, I think you kind of take for granted Devontae's going to be Devante because for reasons like you said, Mark, he's a top five guy. I really honestly think he is. I mean, his footwork is – I wouldn't want to have to line up and cover him. I mean, even if it was, you know, 15 years ago, I'd still be worried that I'm going to sprain an ankle.
Didn't Darius Slay call him the toughest guy he ever had to cover?
Yep. He was one of them, and they, you know, they kind of grew up together, coming up through in the NFL together. So that's some respect, because Slay is one of the top corners, or, you know, at least has been one of the top corners in the league. So there's no question about it. And you hope that he's going to help kind of some of these other guys develop, and maybe Devontae takes on the mentor role in the wide receiver room with some of these younger guys. I mean, we didn't even mention the tight ends. you know, Rodgers said he was glad to have the big dog, Mercedes Lewis, back. To me, I think that's a comfort thing for Rodgers. Mercedes Lewis is never going to be a big, vital part of the offense. If anything, that'll be Jay Sternberger and maybe Robert Tonyan playing a role beyond special teams there. But the pass catcher is obviously going to be really important. I mean, with EQ, going back to that, I know we're spending a lot of time talking about him, but I got reminded of we know about the sideline catch he made against the San Francisco 49ers. I happen to be in Lambeau for that game. That was an incredible catch to watch. And he had a big one against the Jets in that last victory of the 2018 season. He had a big play against the Jets. So he showed up. I mean, his route running is pretty decent. And he was, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, wasn't he projected as high as the fourth round? Or was
some had him even in the third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he fell all the way to six. So,
and the reason, some of the reasons I heard from different people I talked to was the overbearing family. His father's kind of a wacko, a little bit, like, isn't he? I don't want to be.
Yeah, I think he said cheetahs don't stretch, and neither do we. Which, yeah. if I'm recalling correctly, but I think they were also, he was maybe also the victim of the fact that LeVar Ball was all over the news around that same time, and everybody was a little leery of, are we going to have another media parent?
Yeah, he's not quite on that level, but he did scare some teams off, I think.
The Packers don't play that game. You know, if there's anything, you know, with, as far as the media goes, they keep it under control pretty well. So, except for apparently media members muting their phones when they're not speaking in conference calls, but that's not anything new there. So, you know, the passing game will take some steps forwards. I think, you know, Paul, you jump in with anything else that you heard that you thought was kind of big from this. The one thing that I heard was, how much can the Packers count on their rookies this year versus a normal offseason? Because you don't have the same number of gatherings. You know, they asked him about 2011 when they didn't have an off season because of the lockout or the CBA negotiations. And, you know, is it going to be similar? Is it different? You know, what else did you hear, or do you want to expound on that as far as whether or not you think that's going to affect the rookies? I mean, we don't really know much about them and how well they study or how smart they are.
Yeah, and in line with that, Rodgers said that with all these home workouts and the Zoom calls and all that stuff, he said the self-motivators are going to be the one who show up to training camp or whenever all of this gets started, the most on track. You know, there are some who work better in a group environment when there's someone there to kind of instruct them and tell them what to do during practice and all that. But the self-motivators, and hopefully that's what most of these guys are, they're going to be the ones who are the most ready to go. A few other things that I noticed in terms of having Mercedes Lewis back, Rodgers emphasized, obviously, his blocking ability. We know that what he can do there. He's done it his whole career and at a high level, but also what he brings to the locker room. He says he's just a really good fit there. And then another interesting thing that I thought was, despite the Packers going 13-3 last year, we all know that many media members and whoever else ragged on them for not being a good 13-3 team, whatever that means. So Rodgers said he doesn't expect that there will be, quote, sky high expectations for the 2020 season. And I imagine that's probably going to be true, especially after the draft that many are left scratching their heads on. And I know we talked about this, but I want to go back to the wristband. Rodgers mentioned keeping that just to help pick up the tempo. I wrote about this 2 weeks ago, so this might not, I'm in the ballpark. I believe the Packers ranked 26 in the NFL in terms of plays every, 28.8 seconds.
They weren't up there. Ballpark. Yeah, they weren't high.
No. And
they took the clock down close to zero a lot.
And I would love to see them get back into more of that up-tempo. And even if it's not running to the line of scrimmage and snapping every time, at least get to the line of scrimmage, keep the defense off balance. So I think that's going to be something. That's going to be an area where, you know, outside of, you know, the actual play of the receivers, Rodgers, all that stuff, that's going to be something pre-snap that they can do that I think will make a difference this year if they can play quicker.
I agree, but I will say this. I think there's a lot of credence to the idea that Aaron Rodgers does not like to give the football away. And one of the ways to guarantee that you're not giving the defense any extra time or, you know, time to adjust, and of course once the ball is snapped, the play clock doesn't matter anyway, but I think a lot of him taking the play clock down was because he wanted up until the very last second to see what this defense was going to do and if they were disguising. Mark, I'm sure you probably saw the same thing, and we heard a lot about that we know Rodgers doesn't like to throw the ball away, and that's one way to make sure that you get the defense to show their hand is you take the play clock all the way down.
And we all know that Aaron Rodgers is also very big on the, you know, cadence and getting teams to jump, which, you know, he's been the best at that, probably maybe the best of all time at that. So that's another reason when the clock goes down. But getting back to what Paul said, I kind of, you know, there's a time and a place for both. I mean, you know, you can come out in a no huddle and to open the game just to surprise the defense too, or do it in the middle, you know, whatever. And then, you know, late in it's the fourth quarter and you have the lead. No, I don't want up tempo then. I want to milk the clock, and that's when the clock's your friend.
Yeah, and I don't expect them to be a running gun team, but even if they just hurry to the line of scrimmage and then they can run through, you know, Rodgers can do his cadence, check the defense, but, you know, leaving the huddle with 8 seconds left and everyone's hurrying up and all that, that definitely has to improve.
Mark, were you there when Chip Kelly was in Philadelphia?
That was crazy.
Was that not a marathon trying to cover those games with all those offensive snaps? And I mean, you couldn't even look down to write a sentence.
No, you're right. It took a while to get used to, and even practice. I mean, watching practice was like, wow. I mean, listen, it didn't end well for Chip, but those first 2 years were pretty good. And I'll never say a bad word about Chip Kelly because he made my job fun for a couple of years. I mean, it was like I said, it was like nothing we had ever seen and nobody's ever seen. They didn't waste. Talk about not wasting time. Oh man, they didn't. Even like I said, even practice was entertaining. And practice is usually boring after a while, but Chip Kelly's practice training camp was as entertaining as one has been. I've seen a lot of them, and that ranked right up there.
Right. And as fans, we become accustomed to and kind of conditioned to want more to want more offense. So that's just kind of what we want to see more of. And if it's more offense means more snaps, more plays being run at a time, and you know, but you hope as far as the Packers go that means that they're going to be good plays.
Since I didn't hear the Rodgers thing, I read about it, but was he asked or did he address the fact that we think they're going to be more run oriented? Did anybody ask him about, you know, drafting AJ Dillon and the H-back, and no one thought to bring that up. Huh?
No, not that I heard. I missed the first portion of it, but from when I picked up on that, actually was not brought up at all. But that would have been a really good question.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, and again, I did a story for Packer Report, it was last week, whatever, on the last time the Packers ran the ball more than they threw it was 2003, when they had when Amon Green ran for whatever many yards, and they had Najee Davenport and Tony Fisher as well.
Oh, you mean a year in which they probably should have gone to the Super Bowl, Mark?
Well, they could have. Everyone assumes they would have gone to Carolina.
No, I don't. They could have got there.
Sure, they should at least got the NFC Championship.
And they have already made a big jump. In 2018 under McCarthy, they led the NFL in pass percentage. I think they're close to 68%. Last year, they ranked 16th at 59%. So it sounds like it might be – that number might be dropping even a little bit more, but I don't think it's still going to be at 50-50 yet. Still is Aaron Rodgers under center.
I was Brett Favre under center in 03. And this is what I wanted to point out, because I didn't know what I was going to find when I looked this stuff up, but – in 03, when they ran the ball more than they threw it, Favre had his most touchdown passes in like 6 years, had his second best completion percentage of his career. So it wasn't like Favre had they ran the ball at the expense of Brett Favre. Favre had a great year because they ran the ball more. It set up play action more for him. It took some pressure off him. And I think it could work the same way this year. If Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon and Jamal Williams, I think, you know, Dillon is an unknown to me, but I know what Jones can do and I know what Williams can do. But if they have a three-headed monster there that can really be a strong run game, it's only going to make Rodgers better.
Well, part of that, dude, that's a good point. And part of that, I think, having watched a lot of both quarterbacks play, Mark, you did too, Paul, you watched some Favre as well. Is, and I'm just throwing it out there, personality-wise, Brett Favre would walk up to the line, look at the defense, and say, screw you, we're going to run the play that's called and we're going to beat you and watch this. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, I think, sometimes likes to say, I've got an opportunity here. I think I can outsmart or I can be a step quicker than this guy. And all of a sudden, the RPO is a P instead of an R.
Or no.
Or, yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of the way I see that there. And you have to let these guys play within their personality. That just kind of brings me around to kind of a summary of the whole thing, which is I like the fact that Aaron Rodgers isn't coming out full of piss and vinegar and acting like he's going to try to take over the world and declaring that he's going to be an MVP in 2020 and the Packers are, you know, stamp it. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to the playoffs. He was very even keel. And he was, I think, very true to himself. And I think he obviously, this was a big chance for him, for his voice to be heard. And he knew that every single word he said was going to be dissected. And I honestly think that the majority of what he said was Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't the team telling him what to say. And that's one nice thing, is that this is a guy that I think knows how to handle himself from a PR perspective. Some people will disagree because they have opinions on how his body language has been, and there's some questions about his leadership and all that other stuff that doesn't really have a whole lot of basis or foundation. But, you know, Paul, was there anything else, since I know you and I listened to it live? Am I missing any other major points that we haven't touched on at all?
No, we went through all the major ones that I had, and just to reiterate it, I thought he did excellent. He was, you know, positive without being fake. You know, the genuineness of him and just honest overall. I don't think we could have asked of much more from him, especially as Mark said, this isn't something that he had to do. This isn't, you know, league mandated press conference. So I thought it was good.
Help him get out in front of it. Absolutely. 100%. So as I usually do before we wrap up, guys, Mark, we'll start with you. Anything coming up in Packer Report this week we should be on the lookout for?
I'll have some stories. I don't know what yet, but I'll have something. Give me the weekend to think about it.
Going to the old vault.
I'm open to ideas. Email me, text me, whatever.
All right, Mark Eccles. Mark Eccles' DMs are open if anybody wants to send him a message or an idea.
Yeah, I'm open.
Paul, what about you? Cheesehead TV, Dairyland Express.
Yeah, right now I'm going through position by position, just a preview. So I'll go through for training camp. I've gone through all 90 players on the roster, and then also just taking, you know, looks ahead to the upcoming season and what we can expect from some players and position groups.
Awesome. Well, you can find all their great work. Mark's over at Packer Report, Paul's at Dairyland Express and Cheesehead TV, and you'll find me occasionally at Dairyland Express as well. Gentlemen, it's been a great time. We'll let you get back to the sunshine, and we'll do this again in another week. Everybody enjoy your weekend, and go Pack, go.